Well, there's Beans, our little monkey friend.
Isn't he precious, little Beans?
Little Beans. Yeah, so anywho, I am currently watching my sister's dog. And in so many really inspiring ways, this is a lot like The Big Lebowski. This dog has papers, you know. You can't just leave it alone. I'll tell you, a French bulldog believes that you disappear from existence when you go into the bathroom or into a room that it can't get into. Anytime a Frenchie encounters a door, it figures that that world does not exist. And in that sense, a Frenchie is the ultimate solipsist. I mean, the universe of the Frenchie is what the Frenchie wants and needs. I mean, I don't know. But then the last couple nights, he has kind of cuddled up to me, and he doesn't bite so much if you actually play with him. That's one of the tricks. You know, they don't have a lot of stamina, Frenchies, and they like to use half of it to masturbate. So, yeah, you can kind of deal with a Frenchie in a relatively simple way. Just checking time. Checking time on the camera. Don't want to pretend I live in fantasy land. So I was thinking about the fact that, yeah, I'm super late on doing a service this week. And I actually do have a couple themes, but the problem is my darkness, which I think, you know, God loves me, despite the fact that I'm a very dark soul at times. And my mind will entertain things that I wish it wouldn't. And I pray, but I'm not really sure. I'm not sure how to put this. It's more like these thoughts are things that were put there for a reason. Like, you know, you could say things, well, Dan, wouldn't it have been better if 10 or 20 years ago you'd figured out your connection to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't life have been better for you? I really don't know. It's kind of like the road to Damascus thing. You know, you've got Saul, right? Saul of Tarsus, I think. You've got Saul on the road. And what has he been doing with his fucking life up to that point? He's been persecuting Christians. He's been persecuting people that are not, quote unquote, acting according to the faith. He has been setting people up for disaster and murder and destruction. And you'd say, well, Dan, you know, if God were kind, wouldn't God have entered into his life when he was younger? And then maybe prevented that persecution? Wouldn't that have been a sign of, you know, God's love? And in reality, isn't it a little bit callous to wait until Saul's already caused so much harm? And then miraculously, he is changed on the road to Damascus. And this is the thing I try to confront, because I know that my road to Damascus moment wasn't one thing. I think for a lot of the Christians I know, it's not one thing. It's a lot of little things. For a lot of the Christians I know, with very few exceptions, it wasn't some miraculous one giant act like an angel knocking on your door that brought me to God. It was probably 1,000 little miracles that I allowed myself, that I gave myself permission to see. Instead of shutting it out, because, you know, when you're in school, you know, school is great for a lot of things. I mean, especially if you want to spread the cult of statism. And I do think statism is a cult. I'm sorry. I'm kind of ODing on this, Leah Remini series about Scientology. And frankly, she's a really beautiful woman. So even though she's married, I gotta say. And so I'm watching the series, and I gotta say, if you substitute a few words here and there, you could take the government and take this whole COVID bullshit, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, imperial overlord Xenu and dancing nurses and all kinds of bullshit and no reality, but very, very cultish and dangerous behavior. These masks are dangerous. These masks are not simply ineffective. in any real sense. They're dangerous. They are enabling child abduction. There are probably more children being stolen today because people support the stupid mask thing. Tell me that's not a cult. In my humble opinion, a person who spreads a cult is spreading a belief system where it is literally you're in or you're out. And leave your brain at the door. Okay, pretend for a moment you can't think, because you can't, because you have a reactive mind, right? And then what do they say outside of Scientology? They say that if you don't want to wear a mask, you're a sociopath, Dan. You've got to be a sociopath if you don't want to wear a mask. And then look at this stupid fucking election. I mean, we have people disowning and shunning people they love. People in their own families, people that are on their deathbeds being shunned. And why? For this mockery of a fucking election? This worldwide wrestling federation bullshit? People are disconnecting exactly like Scientology from the people they're supposed to love. Now explain to me, please, how that is fucking different. Explain to me, please, how that's not precisely the same cult bullshit. It's the day before the election, 2020. And I want to tell you, I'm going to say a prayer tonight. It is hard for me to pray sometimes. Let me explain again. I've told this before, I'll say it again. It is hard for me to pray because I take it seriously. It is hard for me to pray because I feel like throughout the day, you know, God can read my mind. Let's just get that band-aid off. I believe God can read your mind. God can know your thoughts. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. That's sort of a fringe benefit of being God. That doesn't mean God is always listening. I also think God probably shows his own kind of discretion because he's God. But he can always know if he wants to know. This is always a door he can open. He can go at any point in space and time, open that little door, and see what you're thinking about. I believe that's true. That's part of the nature of God. And so, but it's hard for me to pray right now. But I would say, if we can pray, if it's possible for us to open our hearts in some way to the possibility that we don't have to treat our neighbors like monsters, that we can get beyond the stupid political dynamics that have been forced on us, and they have been forced on you. If you believe in the Constitution, fine. I'm an anarchist, and believe me, that doesn't mean Antifa, although at this point, people are so programmed. It'll mean whatever they want it to mean. But here's the deal. I'm an anarchist. I think voting is a kind of violence, actually. If you're voting, you're voting for people who will make decisions to use force unilaterally to enforce your fucking opinion. And if you think that that outcome is a positive outcome, then I think you're the sociopath. I think you're the psychopath. I think you're the fucker that believes they have a right to decide life and death. That's how I feel. But I don't vote. But if you need to participate in some type of a voting scheme, at least participate in an honest one, you know? It's kind of like playing the lottery. If you want to play the fucking lottery, that's your own fucking business. I believe in a free world. If people want to be stupid, you have a freedom, the freedom to be stupid. I'm stupid almost all the time. You don't have a right to force that stupid on other people, though, I don't think. And the bottom line is this, if you want to have a voting scheme and build a little community where you do that bullshit, at least make sure it works. This doesn't work. It's so corrupt, so sideways. I mean, people think Bernie Sanders, even up to this point, people believe the Bernie Sanders mythology. Oh, Bernie Sanders has tried to fight the good. That's total bullshit. How people can believe that bullshit defies reason. Okay, Bernie Sanders has been a functionary of this bullshit lie ever since the beginning of Bernie Sanders' fucking political career. Just like all those others. If you think that there's a legitimacy in that institution, you're deeply confused. And I'm going to go a step further, although it'll probably piss off a lot of people. I've never met Ron Paul. I've never met him, and from what I can tell, he has a stellar reputation amongst people that believe in freedom. But I have to say at this point, especially given what's happened with the COVID, that it seems like Ron Paul still represents that place that people can stop in the Overton window of things. Hey, Beans, in the Beans window. Are you getting angry about something out there, Beans? You upset? You upset, Beans? Are you upset about me speakifying? Magumbo? You're like Magumbo now, you know that? I think you're like Magumbo 75. And you got those dark little beady fucking devil eyes. You stare at people with those devil eyes, especially when I have Taco Bell. You're a little fuzzy there, okay. Anywho, I'm gonna leave you be. Beans. He probably had a dream about eating a potato chip. I gotta say, if you have a French bulldog, you probably don't need, this fucking camera shakes too much, or I have the shakes. Kidding. No, yeah, if you have a French bulldog, you probably don't need a vacuum cleaner, because they sniff for shit on the ground, and if it even has the hint of food, like something it could theoretically digest in its shark-like stomach, it'll snuffter it up, and there you go, it's gone. In fact, you think about it, the Frenchie is like a biological Roomba, but at the same time, they don't really live to be that old. I mean, the fact is, indoor Frenchie, I think, lives to be about 10 or 11 years old on average. But if you actually released a Frenchie into the wild, does anybody believe it would live more than like maybe a year? I think in a year, you know, a cougar or a golden eagle just swoops down, because Frenchies make noises like animals in distress. None of the wolves are going to want anything to do with that crap. Believe me, they want to chase it off a cliff. It's horrible, but that's kind of the brutality of things at that scale. If Beans were dropped off in the Cascades, and I know I'm radically switching topics, but I think that's good. If Beans were dropped off in the Cascades, you know. Anywho, just go back to the topic. Here's the deal. What if Saul had to do all that terrible crap? What if all my stupid mistakes are somehow related to, yeah, if we're thinking about things in Christian terms, our Christian destiny? It doesn't mean we always live up to it, and there's every possibility of failure. Like, I'm a big-time sinner. Huge, huge, huge sinner in a lot of ways, and I don't know if I'm making progress sometimes. The last few weeks, I have been so dark. So dark. I thought coming here to watch this horrible creature would cheer me up in some fucked up way. Kind of like, you know, I won't say it. But anyways, I used to watch really dark movies to actually feel better as an antidepressant. Like, I would watch horribly dark movies. And I think about it, and sometimes I think, what does that say about me? Am I a terrible person? As weird as it sounds, even the only exception is a movie like maybe Melancholia, because Melancholia cuts so close to the bone. Especially right now. I got some dark feelings about things. I think I've said this, and since we've already, so you know, when I do the video camera, I try to keep these podcasts under 20 minutes, but it's just the way it works, kind of, in terms of, like, I don't like getting cut up. And I think this fucker has got some program setting I haven't figured out yet. But anywho, where were we going with that little fucking bullshit there, Dan? Before you got all crazy. Before you got all crazy. Anywho. We are a collection of mistakes. And I do sin. I am a result of my mistakes. I think Saul was a result of his mistakes, and I think he ended up finding Christ because of those mistakes. Yes, 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 there was the angel, but, you know, that's not a new story in the Bible. If you believe in the Bible, and even in terms of mythology, like, do I actually know if the book of Jonah is even remotely based on a real story? I don't. But I can tell you, I've had experiences like that. No giant whale, just weird destinies that bring me back someplace I never expected or wanted to return to, like Seattle. That's weird. I don't know how that happened, because I didn't want it to happen, but I did make choices that led me here. And I think maybe that's part of the message. Beans is snoring now. This is hilarious. He's such a little beast. Yeah, I think that's part of the lesson, you know. You end up in places not always because you intended to. And it's great to plan, don't get me wrong. God bless the people that figured out their life when they were 12. You know, I wish I had. What I had figured out was how to make one mistake after another and then somehow end up here, you know, pretty much penniless other than a few private items and more or less in kind of crappy shape vis-a-vis the situation, because I know eventually, if I can't figure out a solution, I'm going to be without a place to live. And I also know that at this point in human history, that I think that would be a death sentence. I think that is where we're maybe heading, and I hope we're not. So I ask a favor, because I'm going to try to do it, and this is how I'll close this little mini podcast of approximately 16 minutes or whatever. I'll ask a favor, and it's a simple one from a stupid hobo preacher, that we pray for peace, that we pray for love, that we pray for the possibility that we don't have to victimize our neighbors about something stupid. And you know something? Maybe it would have been better 100 years ago, or more really, before the Federal Reserve, if people had stood up and simply not been suckered. Maybe it would have been better if people had had simply more courage. But what if a lot of this was crooked from the beginning? Or almost the beginning? What if the Constitution was ultimately them punching you in the stomach, stealing your freedom, and then selling it back to you at 20 times the cost? What if that's what really happened in 1787 and 1788 and 1789? What if what was really going on here was ultimately, yeah, an enterprise? And here's the really crazy thought. What if the French Revolution, and this is a really fucked up thought to end a podcast with, but what if the French Revolution was a giant psyop, basically, a giant psyop to cover up the fact that the American Revolution had been hijacked again? That, in essence, what happened in 1787, 88, and 89 with respect to the Constitution was a coup d'etat. And the best way to hide it would be to scare people to death. It's like the Patriot Act. Think about the Patriot Act. People were scared to death. And then they sold this bullshit. Well, what if that's what the French Revolution was? A really fucking scary historical event that scared the fuck out of people, rational people, who probably knew that the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation were sufficient, that you didn't need another document. In fact, any other document was potentially going to be a path to tyranny. These people were smart. But what if they got just really scared and suckered, like we did with 9/11? What if it wasn't just, that could have been a sucker job in the beginning. I know that's a weird conspiracy, but it sounds fucked up. But what if that is what happened? That what if the French Revolution was a way to scare the fuck out of Americans so they would give up the freedom they fought for this ridiculous idea that they could elect a king and then somehow electing a king made the king less of a dictator? Well, that's a stupid idea. At this point, we have to admit that voting for people who will dictate is really the same as just having them born that way. And once they figure out how to hijack the electoral system, then the vote is irrelevant. That's what happened. It's done. It was arguably done when de Tocqueville was writing about it in the 1840s and 50s. It was arguably done back then. But it's uber done. And so am I, because I'm almost at 20 minutes. So you guys, peace out. I may report again later.